to Plot Twist, I Forgot. I am Davin.
I'm Laura.
And we really hope that you're ready to join us at a lighthouse in a very small island off of Scotland. Where are there fairies? Are there not fairies? Are children just going missing? Why do they come back so much younger? We don't know.
Are there
actually
witches?
We do. And we're going to tell you because we're talking about The Lighthouse Witches by C.J. Cook. Again,
yay!
Please read it. If you haven't, yeah. Please pause this.
We're going to spoil the whole book. And if you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend. I know we say it every time, but I really liked this book. I liked it more than The Nesting, which I liked very much.
Which is hard to do because The Nesting was really good, but I also really enjoyed this. I think it, because it could have gone very easily one way and very easy explanation, and it didn't. Everyone's story was very unique.
Yeah,
which I really, really loved that. I was really happy about it.
I am also a sucker for a setting and a windy, gray, stormy, not densely populated Scottish island where like the high school, they go out in the woods and write poems is like, they go out and identify leaves in that science class. Ugh.
Yes, and everyone is just like, yeah, so fairies are real, and it's, like, very easy, like, everyone is just
the whole town
superstitious.
Is like, yeah, absolutely, if that kid has numbers on it, you gotta drown it.
I mean, she's not wrong, that's where we're going. That's
but I was, happened. Like, this the whole time I was reading, I was like, Ray, do you think maybe we should move to Scotland? And he's like, no.
But why not? I always joke with my friends. I was like, you guys, whenever I visit Scotland, I'm buying a one-way ticket. I am not coming back because I want to get lost in a fairy ring. I don't want to be
coming
here.
Back.
Peace out. It was so nice knowing you. I've had a good run. Mm-hmm. I'm meant for other things now.
People are actively avoiding that. I am not.
Yes, exactly.
I'm very happy to serve the Fairy King. Whatever.
I will drink that wine, and yes, I will eat your food. I don't care. You want to know my full name? I'll give you my real name. I don't care.
I don't care. Do you think I want to live in the human world and work a human job?
Absolutely not. I am ready to be a forest witch.
I want nothing
Eldritch
less.
Horror. I don't
I
know.
I want to be an Eldritch horror. Exactly.
But yeah, this one, it was dual timelines. More dual timelines than I expected,
dual.
To be honest. Sorry, more than dual. It's like... three.
There are three. Yeah, there are three main timelines.
Yeah.
And I guess from the synopsis, like, didn't expect that. And I've said it 1,000 times just this month. I love a dual timeline.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It works really well for me.
100%. Especially with this one, like, with where it goes, because you have Liv in 1998, you know, when she's just moved to the town with her three daughters, and she's trying just to deal with that, and you're trying to uncover, like, why she fled anyways, because you know that it was very abrupt and kind of middle-of-the-night situation. And then you have Luna, who is, what, she's probably in her 30s at that point, because she keeps saying Clover should be 29.
I think she's 30 years old.
Yeah, you have her going through things, and then you have Safi from also 1998 to start.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of POVs.
Yeah, there's a lot of POVs, but they all really wind together pretty well. But my opening question for you, right, because at the beginning, Liv is in the Scottish town, right, and she's, you know, checking out the lighthouse, trying to get her kids settled, you know. Safi does not like her mom. She's very unhappy with her, so she's trying to deal with the emotional fallout of that. If some man was like, hey, can you paint this, like, really obvious, like, ritualistic symbols on my lighthouse, would you do it?
I don't think I'm as naive as Liv. But, yeah, she's, like, handed the sketch, and she's like, oh, yeah, triangles and numbers. This is normal.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, there's, like, bones in this lighthouse? That's fine anyways.
I
and this
was
has a
thinking
weird history.
He'd want me to paint some whales, but I guess symbols are cool.
Like, sure, I mean, I guess. I would have been like, absolutely not. You are so confusing me with somebody else. I am going to leave now. Thank you.
Yeah, I think she was just so desperate to, like, not deal with her own issues that she was like, whatever.
I have such an issue with that storyline, though. Like, when it comes about, like, I did, yeah, that was...
I get
it,
but Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, this one, it was also kind of nostalgic in a way, and I think it kind of comes into play a lot later, but, you know, they're in this town, they're very superstitious. I forget how it ends up coming up, but they, pretty early on, like, you kind of are following everyone as they all each start to hear about wildlings, which are basically, like, changelings.
Yeah.
And in a way.
Your kid goes out, and they're missing, and you look for them, and all of a sudden they turn up, but they always have numbers on them in this specific story. And the wildling's goal is to end a bloodline.
For no particular reason, apparently, that's ever explained by the townspeople. Not a fault of the storytelling, but they're just like, okay, cool, to wreak havoc, because when these, like, kids come back...
Is it not part of the witch's curse?
Oh, I guess so, but I guess what is... confusing then is, like, Liv's family had nothing to do with that, you know, so is it just anyone who lives there, or is it, you know, any families who, like, had a tie-in? Because you're right, you know, that is where we get to, because also, well, no, there's four POVs, because then there's Robert's through the grimoire.
Patrick.
Robert sounded better, I guess. Patrick, yes.
His last name is Roberts. You're not wrong. I was just saying his first name.
I didn't finish his full name or last name either, but yeah, so they want to end a bloodline, and they end up having, like, these numbers, and that's how they know that it's not their real loved one, it's a wildling. And also there's all these tragedies that happen that aren't just explained away normally by just, unfortunately, life sucking sometimes and bad things happening. It's because a wildling has entered the chat and decided to cause havoc. So we have the four points of view, right? I forgot about Patrick Roberts, who we find out through Safi finds his grimoire in the house, because you have the lighthouse.
Yep.
And then they're in, like, I forget what they call that house that they're living in.
The Bothy?
The Bothy. I was going to say the buggy.
You know what? I meant to Google that and what the heck a basking shark was. I needed to Google those two things and I never did.
Oh, yes. Okay, so, you know, it's so funny, kind of on that note, so the basking shark, in the book, there's a basking shark named Basil that lives, and instead of, like, migrating with its group, it stays, like, actually kind of friendly. I know, it's not cute, but its name is Basil, and because the narrator is the same, they, you know, and the other book I'm reading as well, it's just Basil. So the first time she said Basil, I was like, there's a shark in this book too?
And it has the same name?
I was like, that's so weird.
I don't like their mouths at all.
No, it's kind of terrifying.
If I'm going to face off with a shark, I want it to be this toothless one. But I, oh boy, do I not enjoy its wide open mouth.
It's just going to, like, your whole body can fit into its mouth.
Oh, no.
And it can get big.
I don't like its little nose either.
It can be 29 feet long.
But the one in this book likes to scratch, so...
It's a good basking shark.
Light.
Oh, this basking shark is wearing a hat.
Cute! Lighthouse Bothy. A Bothy is a basic shelter located near a lighthouse.
Great. Thanks, Google. So helpful.
All right. No, well, shit. I'm really glad that I looked that up.
But okay, out of the four points of view that we have, did you have a particular favorite?
I like the Patrick's 1662 or whatever.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. That one was definitely interesting. It was, not that I didn't like it, I think Safi's was my favorite, though.
I just think his thread is the thread that pulls everything together. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting. And, like, in a story about witches, I'm always going to be interested in the actual, like, witch point of view.
That's fair, yeah.
And in that storyline is, like, where that lore all starts. So I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Safi's was interesting, but Safi's was more of the, like, thriller strand.
It was, yeah. It was the thriller strand, and then you have Liv's that's, like, I don't know, I guess kind of the same. Like, well, because she's, like, or more mystery, because she's on the path of, like... You know, she doesn't believe it, and then things start to happen where she's going to that woman and is like, please tell me more about wildlings.
So I would say that Liv's is a mixture of both, like, the supernatural and thriller aspect.
Yeah.
And that's how, like, those stories get pulled together. And then Luna in the present-ish.
Yeah.
Or 2021. is Luna's storyline, because there is like a present section right at the end. So Luna's storyline is similar to Liv's in that way, where she's dealing with like real world thriller aspects, but there's also like this supernatural-ish element because you don't really know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was really fun. And as you go along, like the issue is, it all comes back to Wildlings and the Witch's Curse, right? Because in Robert's storyline, you learn about like what happened with his family, because his mom was accused of being a witch, the girl he loved and her mom, which her mom was just, I mean, she was a witch, but she was also, wasn't the other mom like the midwife, yeah, that everyone, mm-hmm, was like, you know, obviously giving birth back in the day was like 50-50 if either of you lived, and her success, like live rate, right, was phenomenal. Like she was able to take care, right, of so many people.
She was said to have the ability to pass the pain of childbirth on to the husband instead of the wife.
Which was, yeah, great.
Absolutely. So sign me up.
And then, yeah, like, you should be my midwife. You know, everyone's, yeah, a midwife.
And the whole town basically loved her because she had this ability to, like, help them have kids and have everything go well.
Until they, right, didn't.
And then some man, boo, dies, and rightfully, yeah, so, and then they go on, uh-huh, this, oh, well, witches are bad.
We're going to kill all of them.
Yeah, we're going to kill a bunch of women and children and call them, yes, witches.
Uh-huh. Well, because the mom, Patrick's mom, you don't know, but, like, pretty sure she was, you know, went through something not great.
She was assaulted. You do know. It is. She was
assaulted.
It was, it's on, the act itself is not on page.
No.
But a neighbor saw it happen.
Oh, yeah, that little girl.
Yeah, it's, like, proven. And then, I think it's Patrick's girlfriend curses him? Somebody does curse him.
I think it is the girlfriend, yeah.
Amy,
that's who, yes, Amy. Yeah, she curses him, and then they're like, oh, all witches are bad, and then decide to kill all of them, but not until Amy's mom can be like, okay, that's cool. Oh, no, Amy's the one. They get cursed twice, because the mom says some stuff, and then Amy says some stuff.
Well, that's at the end. So after the assault on Patrick's mom happens, Patrick tells Amy that it happened, and Amy does curse him. And then it comes out in the town that Patrick's mom was assaulted, but they don't blame the man who did it. They blame her for cursing him. And that's how it all starts. So Patrick's mom, Finwell, who is the healer, and then Amy's sister, and then other women in the town are all taken.
Well, Finwell was Amy's mom, not his mom.
Correct.
Yeah.
But Patrick's mom, and then Finwell, who is Amy's mom, mm-hmm, they get taken and put on trial for witchcraft, but they're like tortured for days before their trial, and the trial, yeah, is basically like, oh, did you take the shape of the wolf and go out into the woods and sign your soul over, gosh, to the devil?
Yes, when they're reading all of those statements, like, did you decide to turn into a cat and, you know, mm-hmm, sign your soul to Satan and do all this weird stuff? It was, yeah, that whole, like, statements were so stupid back in the day. Like, uh-huh, holy cow.
No, but that's why I liked that timeline the most, because I love to just be angry, so.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. But then at that point, like, when they're getting burned at the stake, like, Finwell curses them, but then, mm-hmm, so does Amy, like, curses the town, too. She says, yeah, something.
Yeah, she does.
Because then Patrick's like, are they going to now try to kill her too after killing her mom and her sister?
And then they don't.
And they don't.
They're just like, she must have been sad.
I guess, but it's like, I mean, I'm glad they didn't do it, but it is kind of surprising that they didn't do that to her, mm-hmm, at all. But then, so you have that, and then you have Liv's whole POV, which, you know, is kind of just, I think it's also kind of more like women's fiction though, too, mm-hmm, in a way, because it's like she's dealing with some personal stuff, and then she's dealing with her relationship with her daughter, and maybe she likes this new man and she shouldn't like this new man, and oh, by the way, there's like Faye running around, so yeah, have fun.
But her POV worked for me because she didn't say aw. Did you anticipate the reason why Liv ran? Or because I was thinking like, oh, it's DV for sure.
That's what I was thinking. I thought it was DV too. So when it comes out that she more than likely has cervical cancer or ovarian cancer, one of the, I think it's cervical.
It's cervical.
I was like, I obviously don't know what it's like to be diagnosed. I think we've all know someone who has been, but that was the weird thing where I was like, okay, so running doesn't make it better, And you're worried about your daughters, but yet you're not doing anything about it, technically. So, like, never been in that situation, but, like...
But in, like, a fight or flight, right? Like, this is the reactions that people have to scary things. And yeah. Hers, because she had, like, 3 or 4 women in her family pass away of cervical cancer. Yeah. And so, when they found a mass, and... she did test positive, and they wanted to do another biopsy or something. I'm not sure. She was just like, I gotta go paint this lighthouse. Bye. I do understand that, just like, well, I don't want to know. If I don't know, then it's not happening. I'm gonna pretend.
Well, but like, you do know, and you have the symptoms, so like, it's not really
maybe working for you. I punched myself in the kidney and forgot. You don't know.
That was just a thing where I was like, I like, again, obviously, yes, I totally understand fight or flight. It's just still a weird response, at least to me, I guess.
I don't know. I'm not sure how I would act in that situation. And like, I do have people. I think it's also like getting cancer at a young-ish age.
Yeah, because her mom is like 30, 32.
Yeah, she's young. She's not that old. So that's kind of, I think, also plays into it, where you're like, but I'm only 35. Like, this shouldn't be happening to me.
Oh, 100%.
And therefore, yeah. It's not. Mm-hmm. These are not the droids you were looking for. I can totally see, like, a reaction in that mm-hmm. way.
What did you think of her, like, relationship with, I don't remember that guy's name.
Glenn? Why do I always say Glenn?
So not Glenn.
What is his name? It doesn't matter. I think it's nice. His name's Finn.
Yes.
I mean, I love that for her. Find love. Wear plaid. Get out there. Plant trees. Get out there. Plant trees with that man.
Oh, I liked that. And when it gets over, because, you know, basically... order of events, right? They're painting that lighthouse. She's painting basically like ritualistic symbols on the lighthouse. He's there to fix it. Safi hates her mom and goes makes a house in the forest.
Yeah, she finds some shack. I think that's my favorite part of this story, is she entrusts her, what, like 9-year-old sister or younger, and she's like, hey, so I'm gonna run away, and yes. I need you to write down everything mom says and does about how I ran away.
Yes, like, I need to know how she acts if she really loves me. Like, I need to know.
Tell me you need to be hugged more without telling me you need to be hugged more.
Oh, my God, I know. And it's like, you know, you learn why she feels that way because, you know, it wasn't her dad. I mean, biologically her dad, it was her dad. But their dad died. Mm-hmm. And Liv wouldn't let them be there on his, like, basically in his last moments. And she never forgave her for that.
Yeah.
And so she's like, my mom hates me and would be... she would be so happy I'm gone.
I hate teenagers.
And
I really do.
No, they are so... And especially because, like, you know, she's young. She's 15. And you follow her as she's, like, talking to that boy who is just terrible, you know? Where he's like, oh, take
Brody
those photos.
Brody sucks.
Unless this is too fast for you. I was like, how about you, like, go stab him in the throat right now instead? Because mm-hmm. that sounds way better than, like, you know...
He sucks.
Anything else.
He sucks big time. And I was like, he's in high school, he's not that much. She was 15 and he was 17. So it's not like that far off, but I still was just like, ugh.
It's not, but it's like at that age it is. Like that age is a big gap. Once you're out, like once you're a little older, to your age gaps are fine, but she's still so young.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, hasn't done a lot of things, doesn't have a lot of experience in a lot of different things, and you have this idiot over here who has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you just suck, and I hope you fall down a well.
And she just needed attention so bad. Like...
Yeah. That was all it was. She just wanted attention. She needed something. Because she wasn't feeling good about herself.
I hated that storyline so much.
What did you think of... What is his girlfriend's name?
Rowan?
Mm-hmm. I kind of thought her whole goth thing was really funny, especially because the mom is, like, very, like, button-up Pollyanna.
It was 1998 in Scotland. Of course
and,
she's
she's, like,
goth.
A fairy witch. She's, like, a green witch. And she talks like a baby. That baby voice.
Yeah.
That baby voice was...
I don't know. It. I feel like, honestly, that whole group is, like, very 1998 teenager. Like, it just, it all rang true. I'm like, yeah, sure, she's wearing Doc Martens with yellow laces. And sure, the other lady is wearing a velvet dress and a cape. Why wouldn't she be?
Well, then, but she's like, do you want me to come bless the lighthouse? It's like, you're 15. What are you going to do?
She's going to sage it, Davin. Come on.
Okay, just get sage and a white candle and it's totally fine now.
Yeah, it's fine now.
You're right. You're right. Totally, totally great. On the flip side, in Luna's perspective, right, because like you kind of learn what Luna does and doesn't remember of the past, and you basically just find out that Luna was left in a forest by her mom and like went through child services and is now 30 and pregnant and, you know, dealing with her own stuff of why doesn't she want to marry her partner who she actually loves. But if you were to get that call and your sister's alive, right, and you see this 7-year-old girl in front of you who is 100% your sister, but obviously way younger than she should be, like, what would you, like, what would your initial thoughts
be? Would I lie to the police and be like, she's mine, I'll take her, bye?
Yeah,
I don't have siblings, so I don't, know how that bond works, but I feel like I would be like, I don't know whose haunted doll this is, but it ain't mine. Like, I don't know.
That's so funny.
But she, because, like, she did know the giraffe's name, so I feel like,
yes.
I don't know, but I would be so afraid of getting in trouble for, like, kidnapping a child that's not mine, that I would be like, my sister's been missing for 23 years.
So sorry, but this isn't her.
But also, how did social services never check that?
That's also where I was, like, surprised where, you know, if it was in 1998 social services, yeah, I could see that, you know, there could be some lapses in judgment, but in 2021, and not to say the system is anywhere near perfect, it was kind of funny that they're like, that one girl was just like, yeah, you can just take her home, when her boss was like, something feels fishy over here. I don't like it.
But, like, wouldn't they have records of a 7-year-old going missing, like, recently? And, like, this is my thing. Like, the case was publicized. You can find it on Facebook. There are a couple instances in the story where they talk about the news and whatnot, about how all three of them went missing. And then the cops are involved. There's no checkup. There's no...
Well, but also I think where that comes in at least in, like, the checkup, who knows when they were looking? Because she technically went missing 22 years ago, which Luna didn't tell them.
Right.
You know, because they're just going off of that little girl's thing. So I just don't think that they did their research
fully. And she brought the giraffe and the kid was like, oh, Gianni, you brought my toy, sick. And... Everything's fine now.
Did you ever think it was going to go a different way? Because when she takes her home, like, weird things do start happening where, like, Clover floods the bathroom and cuts her giraffe's head off and starts acting out, which...
Because he had to die. All right.
Yeah.
Freak child. At first I was like, oh no, we're going into evil child territory. But then there's like a passage in Liv's where Clover is complaining about science class because they're out doing leaves. And Liv is like, oh yeah, she recently had science back in London and has shown like a scary affinity for blowing shit up. She loves to start fires. And then I was like, oh, well, it's just...
She's just a destructive kid.
Yeah.
I loved that part. That was so funny. You're like, yeah, she likes to be a little arsonist.
Yeah, okay, she
you
likes...
You go, 7-year-old.
She likes to light stuff on fire. but, like, I do feel like that wasn't explained well, other than, like, kids go through trauma and then do weird stuff. But, like, why try and flood the house? What was the point there? Because she, like, overflows the bathroom. And then why destroy your toy? What? Explain. I guess you don't have to because you're 7. YOLO. But...
She just wants to see her mom. Take me back to mom.
Well...
That's...
Mom's dead.
That's not possible. not really. Not yet. Yeah, this one... What I loved, because everyone is, like, having a different relationship when they hear about the wildlings and the witches. Because, which I don't know if we actually... Well, we said it in the synopsis, but when we talked about how... Finwell and Patrick Roberts, his mom and all those ladies were held and tortured, it was in the bottom, or like the area of the lighthouse, which is why that area is not good to be in.
Yeah, at the bottom of the lighthouse there's a cave. And the lighthouse is called The Longing.
Which, again, it's called The Longing. He wants you to paint ritualistic symbols on it. And then a weird child shows up at your door.
Yeah.
Like, please leave.
A little blonde child shows up. And she had seen a blonde child in the lighthouse previously. I think like on the
first night.
Right, the first night she's there, she sees like a little blonde kid in the window. And she goes in and can't find anything. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, she finds a kid with long, dirty toenails and they're covered in mud.
I hated that part. Yeah. I was like, oh, I know, you're just out here, you know, but gross.
Yeah. And then the cops are like, no one's been reported missing.
Also, that police officer was really rude. I didn't like him.
I didn't like him at all.
He was kind of rude. But yeah, well, and also, and you find out later, but like the police officer, and I don't remember this lady's name, but the lady who like really believes in wildlings and is, you know, lives
Isla.
First really. Huh?
Isla.
Is, oh, okay. I kept getting her name, because her name and the social worker's name are, I felt like they were kind of close.
I don't remember the social worker's name.
I don't remember what it is.
Isla.
Now too, but I, yes.
Isla is the lady, but it is not pronounced. You don't say the S unless you're stupid.
Says the person who just said the S.
I know.
That's so weird. But she, and then Liv goes to her, and I think it was kind of not I mean, it's not surprising where she was like, listen, this is what you need to do, okay? Next time you see that kid, you gotta kill him.
You gotta set him on fire.
And I was like, what do you
look,
mean?
Look, I've done it before. Sometimes, sometimes these kids come back and they have little numbers on them and you have to stab them in the heart.
So you just need to do it, because if you don't, unimaginable doom will fall upon this town.
Calls her over to the coffee shop, and this like group of women that Liv has kind of befriended and like goes swimming with and whatnot are sitting there in candlelight, and then they're like, so here's what you need to know about murdering children. And Liv is like, wow, this has been a really good talk, I have to go.
I will not do this, but I think it's kind of, it was a good way to place, like, because I think sometimes it's really easy for us, or at least me specifically, like, when you're reading, it's like, no, duh, this is supernatural, like, I know it's a leap, but just believe it. But in this case, it was kind of, obviously, she's not going to just immediately go towards the side of killing children,
right?
But take that part out of it, it's like, how supernatural is this? And, like, where is it, like, for sure? And, like, are people just making it up? And I liked that she played with that a little bit of, do you even want Liv to believe this? Or do you want her to still be, like, a staunch denier of what's really happening and what's going on?
And you wanted to be in the middle. I just think she did a really good job with that. Because Liv is starting to believe that, like, something's going on. She's... I think by that point she's met Patrick Roberts and he has given her a weird vibe.
Well, because he almost like basically just gave her the vibe that he was going to kill her on that boat where he was like, you must come on the boat with me.
No, that was after.
Was that after?
I think so, yeah. There's a grimoire by Patrick Roberts that Safi is reading. And then, weirdly, the guy who owns the lighthouse, who commissioned Liv to paint it, is also called Patrick Roberts.
What a small world. It couldn't possibly be the same Patrick Roberts. Did you think that he was just immortal, or did you have other suspicions?
No, I thought that he, like, learned to be a witch and then was a witch and remained forever a young, greasy. I pictured Alan Rickman, like a young Alan Rickman, just like greasy Severus Snape.
Oh my gosh, that's actually good. I could see that. That does sound... Yeah, because he's... It's so funny, though, because, like, in the grimoire, like, you're obviously on his side, but then you see him in the other timeline, and it's like...
He's lost the plot.
You're weird. You're weird.
You're doing weird stuff.
You're doing weird stuff. Namely, trying to get back to your time, which I guess was not... That is still kind of weird.
It's not even... I don't even know... I don't know. Initially, so he's, like, when you meet... Patrick Roberts, like, in Liv's timeline, he's like, oh, you look totally familiar. And he kind of, like, calls her Amy under his breath.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, it's been really nice meeting you, weirdo, but I'm gonna go.
And peace out. No thanks anymore.
And then later on in the story, when things are, like, kind of starting to fall apart, she does go... I don't remember why she goes. It's Halloween. It's Samhain. I know that.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And she goes out on the boat with him, but I can't remember why.
Well, I think she just got a weird vibe from him. Like, I don't think she felt like she could say no.
Yeah, but...
Or something also happened before.
I don't remember why she called him.
She didn't call him. He just showed up. Because that was also, like, because I think, wasn't that the same night that she was having dinner, which she had Finn and Cassie over?
Yeah.
They... No. Yeah. That time.
I think this is when she realizes that Safi is missing, and he's like, oh, well, I'll take you in the boat, and we'll... Look.
No, am I don't making think it up? So.
I don't know. Anyway,
I don't think it was because Safi was missing.
She ends up on a boat with him, and when they're, like, out in the middle of the bay is when he's like, I know you're Amy. And she's like, I know you're insane.
Yeah, she was like, can you please take me back?
And then she, like, takes an oar, and she's like, I will hit you with this. Because she brought the two younger girls, so the kids are also on this yacht.
Uh-huh. Just, like, having... They don't know what's going on, and she was like, wow, he is about to kill us. This is so not chill.
Yeah, but it's at that point you know that, like, he is either unwell or whatever, but he is insistent that she is a woman called Amy and doesn't remember.
Uh-huh. He was like, oh, you know, that spell you cast probably just took your memories, so they'll come back to you. It's fine. Don't worry.
She's, I have to go.
Have to go, yep. But then, you know, eventually Safi goes missing, and this is kind of where the paths deviate of, like, how everyone finds their way to the tunnel.
Yeah.
How did Clover get there? That one I don't remember. What was she? Because I know her whole thing was, like, one day, or was that Luna's?
No, Clover... This one I think was Luna's. Clover is like, oh, I was just with Mom yesterday, and then I went in the water, and then I was walking on the street. Like, hers is... I don't remember how she ends up in the tunnel.
Oh, okay. Then, okay. Gotcha.
Or in the cave.
And it wasn't that big of a deal.
No, it wasn't traumatic.
Was Luna's then? Because I know Luna talked about the shark. Because then also where this ends up going is that, like, Luna, you know, she was really... Well, Clover was into the shark too, but Luna was with the fisherman... And they were trying to push back Basil back into the ocean because he washed up during a storm. Yeah, they're bringing
buckets of water and, like, putting water on him so that he doesn't die because he's too big and they can't get him back in. And the fisherman is like, you've done all you can. Like, that's it. You have to let nature take its course now. And Basil dies. And how Luna knows that she is in a different time is when she comes back, that fisherman had said the Coast Guard are going to come and get his body because when they die, they release toxins and it could make you really sick. And when she's, like, swimming up to shore after walking through this cave, she sees Basil in the bay.
Yeah, and she was like, well, no, just the body was gone, I think.
No, he's in the bay. She's like, oh, I must have saved him.
Oh, okay.
Because he's back alive. Because that's eventually... we're getting ahead of it, but eventually that's how she realizes that she went back in time a day, is because the shark was alive again.
Yeah, and then she has the whole number thing, and then she finds her mom and her, but then she finds herself too.
Yeah, it's really very interesting like the way that was written, because you get it from Liv's perspective first, and this is how she decides that she believes Isla is there at home. She's with Luna, and another Luna comes to the door.
Yeah.
And in the house, Luna is like, oh, it's cool. I know how to deal with this. Safi told me.
Oh, yeah. She was, like, not scared at all. Mm-hmm.
They're just hanging out talking about dinosaurs.
Yes. And they're like, you know, you like this. I like this, too. Blah, blah, blah. She's just talking to herself.
Yeah.
Basically. At that point.
And Liv tells Isla, and Isla's like, well, you already know what you have to do.
Yes. So let's go take not... Luna to the forest.
Yeah, numbers. To a tree. Luna with markings on her leg needs to go into the forest, and you have to kill her.
Yes, and that whole thing was, and I forget, because eventually, I mean, she doesn't do it. Like, Liv cuts her daughter free, because she was like, this is my daughter, like, I don't believe this
she's,
is a wild
Yeah,
thing.
She gets, like, an overwhelming sense when she's about to do it that it's her daughter, and she goes to cut the ropes, and Luna moves her arm. And so she does get cut, because, like, part of the 2021 Luna's story is that, like, she remembers her mom cutting her, and she wants to know why her mom wanted to kill her or whatever, because she can't remember the whole thing.
The whole story.
And she cuts her free, and she runs away.
Yeah.
and then other Luna finds her. But that's, like, completing... We jump around before all of this happens to, like, see how each of them discovered the cave and went through the cave.
Yes, uh-huh. So that's how... And then Liv goes through the cave because the ladies are chasing her and trying to get to Luna. That's what happened.
Patrick Roberts finds her.
Well, that's after, like... Well, like, well, that's how she gets to Patrick Roberts. She's running from
the cave. She runs into him, but she doesn't go through that cave. She goes through to try and escape from him because of the spell.
Well, he also takes her rib, so, you know, that had something to do with it, so.
Can you imagine someone being like, oh, I have been translating this spell wrong. It's living bone, but it has to be human. And the bone he chooses to use is your rib?
Well, I guess in consideration, he was like, you really don't need this bone, so I'm just going to take it. Thanks.
That's true. However, the internal trauma.
Yeah.
He, like, cuts her open and rips out three ribs.
Oh, was it three that he took?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Take one single finger.
I'd rather you take a rib I don't need than a finger, to be honest.
But the healing, I don't know. That whole.
None of it's good.
That gave me the ick. A lot.
No.
This is the new would you rather. Would you rather, your bones have to be used for a spell. Would you rather three ribs or one finger?
Three. Well, but you know he's going to take three fingers. Because what if the other one bone doesn't
work? That's not the question.
I would still pick three ribs, to be honest.
I guess so. But healing from that sounds like it would suck. But yeah, so he takes her three ribs and she passes out. And when she wakes up, she's like, I have to get out of here. And so she opens the grate on the floor and that's how she ends up in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
And
then Safi. Yeah, go ahead.
And she sees that kid down there again. And the kid leaps into the ocean. And she's like, well, I don't want to do that. But then she hears Patrick behind her and she jumps in. And that's how she transports herself in time.
And she makes it through. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you have, well, also, like, we find out that this can do it, first of all, because of Patrick's grimoire, where he's talking about how Amy did it. Because Amy, for, you know, she wanted to really find out a way to, like, avenge what happened to her parent, her mom and her sister, and make it not happen. And she went through.
Yeah, they go into the cave, and there are symbols on the cave. And Amy's mom, Finwell, when they were down there, had put a curse on it. Mm-hmm. And... the cave, if you go through the end and jump into the water, it transports you in time. Amy figured out how to control where it takes you, but nobody else knows where you're going to end up. So you could end up 100 years in the future, 100 years in the past, a day in the past. Like, no one knows.
But that's what those numbers are. It's the year that you're in.
Right. So all of the wildling children that have been killed over the years with a set of four numbers on them... They've all basically time traveled through this cave.
So, like, they are their loved one. Like, it is really them.
Yes.
It's just, they have those numbers. And then Safi ends up there because Rowan ends up confronting her. Or, like, coming over.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with her and whole Brody's, like, situation, he tells her that he broke up with Rowan and she's so happy. And they have a falling out because he's...
the worst.
Not a nice person.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is the worst. And Rowan's like, did you really think that he would break up with me? And blah, blah, blah. You took what was mine, so I'm going to take what's yours. And I think she was trying to kill her.
So she runs through the
tunnel.
Rowan, I think, gets her high. And then they go into this tunnel. And Rowan is like, oh, he told me it was three times. So you owe me three cuts. And she pulls out like a dagger and is gonna cut Safi three times. Uh-huh. And she like cuts her once in the chest, like near the shoulder, like barely missing an artery. And Safi's like, no. And that's how she goes through the other end of the cave.
Yeah. I will say, like, I was glad because, like, when you get part of it, because before, like, Liv jumps in and all that other stuff happens, you get, like, a chunk where she's looking for Safi still.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad that the whole Finn having something to do with it wasn't true. I was going to be really upset if that was, like, a reason.
Yeah.
That would have sucked.
And I don't know why. So, Safi takes pictures for mm-hmm. Brody, and Rowan finds out about these pictures, and Rowan makes copies of them. And I don't understand why Rowan would put those pictures in Finn's car. Like, why try and get him in trouble?
Yeah, that part I didn't get, because there's no, like, I don't think we ever see them really interacting with each other.
What did he do to her?
Exactly. What did he do, or did you just know that they were, like, maybe, and by they, I mean Liv and him, seeing each other, and you just wanted to pass it off? Like,
well,
I don't know.
I guess, like, trying to, so that she wasn't the last person seen with her, and she wasn't involved at all, like, throwing away suspicion from herself, because she was there, and she did hurt her. So I guess the only reason I can see her doing that is to pin it on somebody so that she's never even, like, questioned about it.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that, too. It was just, it was interesting. But I like how towards the end it all kind of comes back together mm-hmm. with how they're all reunited, because, like, Luna's hearing about, like, I don't know if this could be my sister, and she goes back to the town and finds Cassie, who is Finn's daughter, who they were really, like, her and Cassie would have been best friends had they stayed in contact. Yeah. And, you know, she's there, and she was like, oh, there was a girl named Sapphire that was found, and she was 15. They found her a year ago. Mm-hmm. Like, but it can't possibly be her.
Right.
And then that ties in, and then, you know, they're all reunited.
Yeah.
The
ending of the book, I thought, was really great. Once you figure out that, like, yes, there were witches. Yes, Patrick Roberts is the same Patrick Roberts, and he's trying to work this spell to get back to Amy, which he does. The spell does work.
Yeah, he does get back to Amy.
He goes back in time to 1642 or wherever he's from, and he's not, he doesn't, like, stop it, but he shows up, like, at her, they were going to burn her, and the priest shows up and is like, well, you didn't have a trial. You can't do this. She's mm-hmm. not a wildling. She's suffered a trauma, and she's, you know, just unwell or whatever.
Yes.
And so after you figure out that, like, yes, this is time travel and it's true, Luna and Clover are already together. As Luna and Clover are leaving the island, Luna spots Safi walking off the ferry. And so they're mm-hmm. reunited. And then a couple of months later, because I know it was around the holidays, because Finn had an inkling, he is living in New Zealand now, he had an inkling that he wanted to go back to Longhaven and spend Christmas with his daughter Cassie, and he's taking a stroll on the beach, and that's when Liv stumbles on shore. And because Cassie and Luna had had that interaction a couple of months ago when she was trying to get her memories back and came back with Clover, Cassie calls Luna, and they're all, Luna has now given birth. She has been pregnant this entire time. Mm-hmm. She has given birth. She has a little boy. And Liv is staying with Finn and Cassie. And they all reunite. Yay!
Yeah, they do. It was cute. Well, I mean, it's still kind of sad toward the end, but it was like a good, like, mixing. But can you imagine, like, because Luna's the middle child and Safi's the oldest and Clover's the youngest, mm-hmm. but now all the roles are switched where Luna's in her 30s and, you know, you have Safi who's like 19 and Clover who is whatever old she would be, 11, 12 or something.
I think the present timeline, they're all like four years older.
Yeah, so that's just like a, can you imagine, like, that's your life now of, like, you're kind of the mom of your younger siblings, mm-hmm. which I think is a what an older sibling takes on the role of anyway sometimes,
right.
But it's weird, like, how, like, their roles in their family changed so much. That was interesting. I did really like it, though. I like how I was really glad that the time jumping wasn't all for the same reason, that they weren't all just all falling in the cave at the same time together. They all found their way to it for different reasons that made sense with their own personal story.
Yeah, I think that's what made it work for me, except for I can't remember how Clover gets down there. But, like, part of the story is that they have so much lore about this cave that that's how there have been so many, like, air quotes, wildling children, because kids and teenagers, like, dare each other to go down there and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And so in the present timeline, Luna, like, the very last few pages of the book, is like, we're gonna destroy that shit. No more cave.
Yes.
The cave,
like,
is done.
We're gonna, take away the cave. We're gonna find someone to do it. It's a lot of money, but no one else needs to just deal with this anymore, so peace out.
Yeah.
Goodbye, cave. And that's how it ends.
Goodbye, cave. Family is all doing okay, living together.
Yeah.
Except for Liv, who does die of cancer.
Yeah, she does end up dying. But she's able to see her daughters before she does, mm-hmm. which was really nice.
Yeah.
That was a good That was a good addition. But another banger by CJ Cook. It makes me wonder why I haven't kept up with any of her other books, because I really enjoyed this one.
As soon as I finished, I was like, oh, I know there are at least two out there that I can read right now.
Oh, 100%. We have a lot, with a new one coming next month, or at this point when this comes out, a couple weeks, it'll be out.
Yeah.
So if you need some spooky books to add to your TBR, I would definitely check out her backlist.
1,000%. I loved The Nesting, but I think I'm going to do A Haunting in the Arctic, because that one also ticks all my boxes.
Oh, I bet that one is probably really good. I think The Ghost Woods, I don't know what it's about, but that one definitely stands out to me. I love the cover and the title sounds great, so I think that may come next.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm excited. I'm glad we read this one. This was a hit.
This was a hit. Thank goodness. We've had too many misses this year, so I'm glad we had a hit, and hopefully October will be a hit, because it would be very sad to have. I have very high hopes for this. Like, I would be so shocked if our October pick was not good.
Nope.
I don't believe it.
It's gonna...
I think we're in for another banger, but...
It's gonna be a banger. I know it.
It's gonna be...
That,
yes, it is.
It's gonna slap... I don't know.
What do the kids say?
What are the kids saying these days?
It's gas.
Ew. Yeah. I guess so.
That's what they say. It's gas.
I'm so old.
It's bussin', I think.
No.
I think
are we still saying bussin'? I thought we did away with that. The young person who used to teach me child slang quit. So I don't have a Gen Z representative anymore to teach me the child words.
Yeah, me either. Maybe I'll text my previous person that would tell me that, and I'll be like, "What are the kids saying now? What is the new slang I should be saying?"
None of it makes sense to me, so it doesn't matter.
Absolutely not. I was like, I don't understand. Like, big back. What does this mean? I'm so confused.
That one I do get. That I get. Aura farming. I do not understand.
I've never heard of that in my life. I don't know
what it is. I am chronically online, and so I've just heard it in, like, reels, but...
Please use it in a sentence.
I don't think I can. Have you seen the videos of that little boy, and I think it's, like, Thai or something, boat races, and he's, like, doing a little dance at the front of the boat?
No.
Okay. Well, I got nothing. I'll send you a reel that'll explain what I mean. I think it means, like, you're cool.
Aura farming means you're cool?
Yeah, you're doing stuff that makes you cool.
If I had to guess, aura farming would mean, like, you're trying to find someone who has a good aura, so you're going through a lot of people. You're farming for a positive aura.
You're farming for a good aura.
Good vibes.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like to me.
I don't know. I'm old, man.
I don't know. I'm not cool, so
I'm not cool. I've never been cool. I don't want to be cool. Honestly, don't want to understand what the kids are saying.
Yeah.
Because that's a rite of passage. They get to say weird stuff, and we get to be like, back in my day. And
We said everything was the bomb, and that was fine.
Yeah.
If it was bomb, that was it. But anyways, enough child slang. We will be back in 2 weeks to celebrate the best month of the year. So stay tuned. You can follow us at Plot Twist I Forgot on Instagram, and we will be back in 2 weeks.
Goodbye.
Bye.